2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Inside Sources. Inside Sources. Inside Sources. Where KSL offers Utah deeper insights on the news. Host Boyd Matheson divides rage from reason and elevates the conversation on issues crucial to our community. On KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Well, that loud ticking noise you're hearing from our nation's capital is the clock ticking against Congress for a series of deadlines coming up, even in the next 72 hours, to fund the government. There's also a defense authorization bill. We've got to raise the debt ceiling. And, of course, the president's agenda, Build Back Better, is also on the docket, all trying to be more than a slow-moving train wreck rolling into the holidays. But what can be done? What should be done? Let's begin.
Think you know the news of the day? Think again.
Well, joining us to help figure out what could be done and what should be done, Utah Senator Mitt Romney joins us on the line today from our nation's capital. Senator, thanks for joining us.
Happy to be with you again, Boyd.
Well, the clock is ticking once again on a host of things that have been punted down the road. And I wanted to get your perspective first, Senator. You've had success in a number of areas in business. Have you ever experienced anything like what has become of Congress in terms of kicking things down the road and not functioning within budgets and all of those kinds of things? How do you see that? I've always said the most frustrated people in Washington are former governors and former business executives, and you qualify on both counts.
Well, my guess is that if our federal government were actually a private entity, meaning it had competition and it was working in a marketplace, it would have been bankrupt a long time ago, because it just doesn't operate by the kind of rules that any kind of enterprise that wants a future would operate under. And yet we hustle along nonetheless, and we're able to survive, and we'll probably survive a lot longer. But yeah, it would be very nice if we worked in a more efficient way and worked in a more collaborative way. I think it's been harder. We become more politicized as a nation, and it's been harder to find common ground than I think historically has been the case.
Yeah. And so as we move towards the first of the deadlines coming up, of course, the funding of the government, which was punted from September into December. And I've heard rumblings ranging from a 2-week continuing resolution to 6 or 8 weeks. What are you hearing today in Washington? What do you expect? What should we be watching for over the next few days?
Well, I think it's pretty likely that there will be a continuing resolution, meaning we continue to fund the government at the current level, probably through sometime in January, maybe even through sometime in February. So it gives appropriators more time to find common ground in various spending priorities. I think that's likely to happen. I think Senator Lee has indicated that he intends to basically shut things down for the weekend, in order to, if you will, underscore his opposition to vaccine mandates, and I agree with him on saying these vaccine mandates are not a good idea, but that I think is potentially in the cards. But will we get a continuing resolution done sometime in the next few days? Yes, and it'll keep government running through January or February.
All right. And so then that leads us to the next piece of the puzzle, which is the debt ceiling. You and I have had a lot of conversations about our national debt and mounting deficits year after year. What are you hearing? Obviously, this has become a tension point over the last few times that it's been raised. Where do we stand on that today?
Well, the Democrats will raise the debt ceiling in part because they have the House, the Senate, and the White House. And so it's incumbent upon them to raise the debt associated with the administration that they back, and they will do so. It'll be a unanimous vote, I'm sure, on the part of the Democrats. Republicans will oppose raising the debt ceiling to point out that we don't agree with the way they're spending money and the way they're taxing us. We'll get there. I don't know exactly how we'll get there. The good news is that Senator McConnell and Senator Schumer are talking, which means maybe they'll find a process which gets there in a less troublesome, fraught way than we have in the past. But there's no question in my mind that we will honor our obligations and send out checks to people who are entitled to them.
Yeah. And then, Senator, as you look at one of the things that's been sliding under most of the public's attention is this National Defense Authorization, the funding for the military, which has always gone through on a bipartisan basis. That one's kind of hit a few hiccups, some of them relating to Russia and pipelines, gas lines in there. Most were expecting this to be done last week, and now it still seems like it's hanging in the balance in terms of will there be votes on amendments.
Well, the good news is that Republicans and Democrats came together in the Foreign Relations Committee and agreed on a Defense Authorization Act, and it was done on a bipartisan basis. But the hang-up is that our party in particular wants to make sure that there is an opportunity for individual senators to offer amendments to that package. And initially, it looked like Leader Schumer was saying, no, we're not going to let you offer amendments. We're just going to go right under the bill the way it stands. And our side balked at that and said, no, we want to have some amendments. I understand that we're very close to an agreement to have amendments. There will be several from each side. And once that's agreed to, we'll get voting at it probably even today, tomorrow, or over the weekend. But we'll be able to have amendments voted on, and this reauthorization will occur.
All right, and that leads us to the last big ticket item. All your holiday wishes wrapped up into one. The last thing on, of course, the administration's agenda is the Build Back Better Act. Again, a lot of climate and social program spending in there. It's passed the House. It's now waiting to really move in the Senate. And this is one where the president seems to be coming out every couple of days now trying to somehow make the connection. It seems like to me that there's a disconnect between what the administration is saying and what the American people are feeling in terms of inflation, paying gas prices at the pump, or not being able to fill up their shopping cart at the grocery store because of inflation and supply chain issues. What are you hearing there? Do you think this is something that will get addressed before the holidays, or is this going to get punted into the new year?
Well, there, as you know, there's no Republican support. Not a single Republican in the House or the Senate is going to vote for the so-called Build Back Better. It's actually Build Back Worse. But no Republican is going to vote for it, based upon what we've seen so far. And you make a very good point. It just isn't focused on the concerns of the American people, or frankly, on the needs of the American people. So it doesn't take inflation into account. It doesn't take Omicron, the new COVID variant that some know is come from originally found in South Africa. These uncertainties and concerns are very much top of mind. Likewise, the difficulty in finding people to go into the labor force and to meet the needs of our economy, that's not addressed. So the bill is just misguided. It's also very expensive. The last thing we need right now is to be out borrowing more money, spending more money. That, of course, encourages more inflation and more debt. Both things are bad. And the measure itself, it can sound to some people good on the surface when they hear, oh, free child care. But what they don't hear is, oh, by the way, any child care service that's provided by a church is no longer going to be able to take advantage of this program. So, 52% of the child care provided in the country is provided by various churches. And so they'll no longer be a part of this program. So it has some extraordinary discriminatory features. It says, for instance, we're going to give you a big subsidy if you buy an electric car, but only if the electric car is manufactured by a union factory. But if your electric car is manufactured in a non-union factory, you don't get support. So there are just a number of provisions that are really unfavorable, and I think will be rejected by the American people. What's going to happen? My guess is the Democrats are going to vote for this at some point. I can't tell you whether before the end of the year or the beginning of next year, but they can see that Biden is in real trouble. And the Democrats are in real trouble. And my experience is that when Democrats are in trouble, instead of rethinking where they're going, they double down on the same path. And it's going to make things even tougher for them.
Yeah, I think that is going to be the real challenge. A lot of those things that do sound free always sounds good when it's free. But when you have to start paying for it, or when the price of that child care is suddenly skyrocketing because of where the government funding is being applied, or where that manufacturing is happening, and you're kind of weeding out a lot of good innovation and entrepreneurship in the market that drives down prices and increases quality. That seems to be the real struggle. And just an interesting number I saw yesterday, Senator, most Americans, 9 out of 10 Americans actually are worried that the worst of inflation is ahead of us, not behind us. And 7 out of 10 are concerned that it is the spending out of Washington that is making it worse. Is that going to be the ultimate challenge for the Democrats? And do the Republicans have an alternative message in terms of what it actually means around that kitchen table?
Well, I think you're absolutely right, and it really is going to come down to Joe Manchin in particular, which is he's going to recognize that the $1.9 trillion that Democrats voted for in January, that not a single Republican went along with, that money has gone out and has helped fuel the inflation, which is hurting so many people. The fact that they won't let us drill on public lands for oil, and they shut down pipelines. When you do that, guess what? Gasoline prices go up, and people have seen that. So they recognize the policies of this administration are causing inflation. And are they going to want to add even more spending at a time like this? The answer is no. And what Republicans are saying is, hey, let's focus on the real concerns that people have. Let's bring inflation back down. Let's not spend more at the federal government level. Let's not raise taxes. Let's not rethink our total social safety net. At a time like this, when everything is up in the air, particularly when you have, the Omicron COVID on the horizon here, we don't know where that's going to go. Hopefully, it will just sort of peter out. But if it's severe, we better have some firepower to be able to take it on and get new vaccines that might be required, or provide support for enterprises that need to try and stay in business. I mean, we're in the middle of a pandemic. It ain't over yet. And with that being the case, spending massive amounts of money on new social programs is just not something that's warranted.
Yeah, great insight. And Senator, we will wish you good luck. And I'm also going to wish your staff good luck. I know these Decembers are brutal in terms of trying to get out of town and get things wrapped up. And I know these are a lot of very long days and very, very short nights. And so good luck to you and to your staff as you're moving through some real critical things for the country and for everyone right here in the state of Utah.
Well, thanks, Boyd. And on this December 1st, Merry Christmas in advance, and hope to see you soon in Utah.
All right. Thanks so much. Senator Mitt Romney joining us on the line there. Again, a lot going on, and we're going to continue to break all of that down. I want to go back to a couple of things that Senator Romney said and break those down, both in terms of what the Democrats are doing, what Republicans are doing, and how that's going to impact you. We'll continue the conversation. We'll stay with it a little longer right here on KSL News Radio.
With Boyd Matheson on KSL News Radio.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLpodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.